Hello and welcome to the Sabbatarianism Podcast. My name is Justin. I have with me my good friend Richard Davis. Hello, Richard Davis.
Hello, Justin.
And back again is Mr. Neil Saul. Hello, Neil Saul.
Yeah, the sidekick over there.
Yeah, the sidekick. I still want to get that picture redone with you as the dog, as we suggested. Neil's face on a dog.
Bow wow.
All right. Well, we welcome you, and we want to encourage everyone to start with reading the Bible for yourself. If you have not done so and you're just tuning in, please start with just reading the Bible, you and God alone. Read it all the way through. It is possible. Lots of people do it. We all have. We also want to encourage you to start at the beginning of these podcasts. If you're new here, please start in the beginning. We cover a lot of big concepts in the beginning that we talk about throughout podcasts, and we can't stop and explain them each time. So know that each podcast is not a standalone thing by itself where we explain each thing that we're talking about. Please start in the beginning. All right. So we have decided we're going to move to the book of Acts. We have not decided. We're going to let the Holy Spirit kind of guide us whether we go all the way through the book of Acts or not. A lot of it is just kind of a history on Paul's journeys and where he goes and all that. Not saying that there isn't edifying material in all of it, not saying that at all, but we're just not sure if we're going to read the whole thing or not. But we definitely want to do this first part. There's some really important concepts and happenings there in the beginning of the book, and especially in Acts 15, where we have the Jerusalem Council. So we are going to begin there. Richard, I know your eyes have been bothering you. Do you want to read today, or you want one of us to?
I think I'll try to read some.
Okay.
I'll just be glad in another couple of months and I get some new eyeballs.
Yeah, we're hoping for you. He's going to a doctor that several people here have had the same surgery, and it's been very successful. So we're all very hopeful for you.
Okay, well, we'll start again. I guess a way to get started is just get started.
Yeah.
Acts 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let me just pause there and say, I just had a revelation. Maybe Paul is not the only one who makes long run-on sentences.
This we all think, because of this beginning here that you just read, O Theophilus, we all believe this to be Luke because yes. of that beginning.
Yes.
One thing that struck me is, until that day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, he appeared to the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what Luke is kind of saying here is that appearance is through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Is that how you take it as well?
He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to them. So the Holy Spirit now is on the scene. He has given the Holy Spirit to them and is now instructing them as to what they need to do as far as taking care of their responsibilities.
Ongoing, instead yes. of just in the beginning when he was there appearing before them saying, yes. all right, I want you to do this, 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 and this. It's an ongoing thing through his Spirit.
Yeah, it said that he had breathed on them and given them the Spirit to obviously to do these things, to take care of the responsibilities of laying the foundation of the New Testament church and given them the authority within that realm, which they call upon in their letters. They have the authority, and they admonish people to obey those in that role that had the authority.
Well, and I think we go ahead.
That doesn't mean that God's church is an authoritarian structure.
Yeah.
They alone had that authority, and we have the words right here.
And I think the Holy Spirit also helped in maturing these men.
Sure.
And I think we see that right off the beginning here.
Well, I think, too, that when he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, that was for a specific purpose.
Yes.
Here in chapter 2, we're going to see where it's made available to everyone.
Right.
And that Holy Spirit is working in these people, and you see that in the two people on the road to Emmaus. Okay, the Holy Spirit blinded them. They should have recognized that was Jesus right there talking to them. But the Holy Spirit prevented them from seeing that until it was time to open their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next chapter because there's a difference. You know, there have been examples of God giving the Holy Spirit to individuals back from the time of the foot of the mountain, gave the Holy Spirit to people so they could have certain abilities to do certain things.
Right.
So it doesn't mean a matter of conversion and sanctification in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just read this morning how God took a part of the Spirit that had been given to Moses and gave it to the 70 elders.
Yeah, back.
Yep. Yeah. In Numbers.
Numbers, yeah. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all contained with one accord in prayer, all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the wisdom with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, although the number of names was about 120, and said, Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong was burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Ekeldama, which that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are all those who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue, and wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For those are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. And this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Therefore, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. But it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreshadowing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, which means the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and all had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's the end of chapter 2.
And that's the end of the first sermon.
Yeah.
People, the ministers today ought to take note of that. 10-15 minutes max.
That's all you need. If you really have meaning, you get to the core. And
yeah.
That's it.
So it says he's speaking to people that at least the writer of Acts calls Jews from all around. And they are all hearing him in their own native language that they grew up with that makes the most sense to them.
Yeah.
When in actuality, he's a Galilean and he's speaking his native language.
Well, what was going on before when they accused him of being drunk is people were talking in their native language, and all these different languages were understanding in their language.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, I speak Spanish, Richard speaks German, and you speak English, and I'm speaking in Spanish, and you understand in English, and he understands
right.
in German.
Right.
Unheard of.
Well, yeah.
And they accuse him of being drunk, and so then that gives Peter opportunity to...
But I think we also see the maturity that I spoke about with Peter. I mean, that was a really mature... like you call a sermon, but to just stand up in front of all these men and put them right.
Big change.
Yeah. Big change has happened.
From the man who denied Christ 3 times.
Yeah. Just and 40
said some, days earlier. You know, kind of foolish, capricious things along the way with Jesus as well. Mm-hmm. Great guy. I'm not taking away from him. But I hearken back to in the book of John how he says, you know, several times he said, you know, at the time we didn't know this, but once the Lord died and we had chance to reflect, then we figured out that this is what he was saying. And right here in the very beginning of the book of Acts, which is not too long after the Lord has ascended, that Peter has figured out a lot of things. I mean, he goes right down through it here with quoting Joel and knowing that the Messiah had to be sacrificed.
But they still had this expectation of the Messiah setting up the kingdom.
Yep. Then. He heard that right in the beginning,
yeah.
too. Yep.
But he also says, let's see, this is verse 39, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off. That's the Israelites from that have scattered around
abroad.
The world.
Yeah.
Abroad. Or actually all of
could be
mankind.
Even the Gentiles. Yeah.
All mankind.
That would represent the Gentiles.
But notice here in verse 22, he said, men of Israel. And he's addressing all these men from all these different countries. Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Many of them weren't even there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we're all responsible.
Yeah.
By our sins.
Because of our sins, yeah.
And later on, I'll just make a point here. And in chapter 38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call. Now, through that faith and that repentance, they were then sanctified. That's why they were later called saints, by the Holy Spirit. That's where the process of sanctification comes from. And that act of justifying them or setting them upright through the blood of Christ is totally a gift of God by the Holy Spirit. It's not earned by any deeds, any anything you've done. It's as filthy rags before God. That's where the grace of God comes in. It doesn't mean by the grace of God you're delivered to do evil or to do anything, and it doesn't matter. You got it made in the shade. So that's what ancient Israel thought.
Well, if you go on to verse 40, where he says, and with many other words, and he bore witness. I'm reading from the American Standard.
Mm-hmm.
He bore
You're
witness.
In the ESV, Neil.
Oh, ESV, yeah. Get my Bibles mixed up. Where was I? He bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. We can't save ourselves no matter what. That's all by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. But we can save, with the Holy Spirit, we can save ourselves from this evil generation by
how we act and what we do.
Yeah, getting away from it, turning our backs to it.
And it's clearly a free gift, but he gives the steps here.
Mm-hmm.
Repent and be baptized.
Yeah.
That's step one,
right?
Then
yeah.
your journey begins. That's not the end. That's the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we ready to move on to chapter 3 here?
Chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning every one of you from your iniquities. Okay. I just want to make a comment here about this healing. You notice how Peter called on the power of God through the Holy Spirit immediately without any hesitation. And God responded to that by healing this man, because the signs and wonders that were prophesied that would be from Jesus and his disciples back from Isaiah 8 were put upon the disciples. And he had told them, you will perform even greater miracles when he was gone. And this too was a sign of who they were and who he was. Okay. Chapter 4.
Well, healing's a big topic, you know. It's something we talk about a lot here. Should we have the power to heal people? Is it just because of our lack of belief? And you've put forth the idea, at least, that perhaps that was only given to the apostles. That doesn't mean, when it does say that we will do greater things than these, that we should be able to heal as well. It was a big point of contention for me. I just thought, man, it's like we don't have that ability anymore. Is it because of our lack of faith? And I struggled with it for a really long time. And I talked to you about it once, and you suggested that perhaps that was only given to the apostles.
Well, the fact that we can be healed miraculously is always there.
Yes.
Here is talking about a gift of healing. I heard someone at one time compare that to say that they knew someone had a gift of healing because they had prayed for so many people and every one of them had been healed. Well, I don't believe that's a gift of healing. The gift of healing is the power that Peter had to say, rise up and walk. And he rose up and walked. I mean, by the Spirit that was in Peter to grant that, it was done. But God does heal. I know for a fact God does heal people all the time.
Yeah.
But that is not the same thing as this.
Well, and a little later on, we'll see their shadow just cast over a lame person and they're healed.
People got like pieces of what Paul's robe or something and were healed from that.
Yeah.
That was a witness. And, I want to make sure nobody mistakes what I say.
Yeah.
This power of healing and a gift of healing that was given to those early apostles and disciples as a witness that is talked about in Isaiah and again in Hebrews, the signs and wonders is a sign of who the Messiah was. Jesus even sent that word to John the Baptist. You tell him what you saw.
Right.
And he will know who's who and what's what. That doesn't mean God doesn't heal us and give us all the blessings that we ask. And we're not going to live forever in this life, in this physical body. So we're eventually going to die. But there's a difference between praying for somebody and they're healed. God heals them because that's his will to do so. And then just the power to do it like they did for a sign as to who they were.
Well, and I think it's for this specific purpose, to build the church, to raise it up.
That's what I was thinking. Yes. The main ones we hear about is Peter and Paul in the New Testament, as well as the Messiah, but the foundations of the different churches.
But I'll give you an example of that same thing happening in modern day, and it was with my wife. She had epilepsy. And she'd have a grand mal seizure in the middle of the night. And it freaked me out first time it happened.
Uh-huh.
And I prayed. And, you know, that first time, it was probably a 3-minute prayer. Mm-hmm. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And she quit. She, you know, going through it. It's like foaming at the mouth. Wow. Well, then the next time it happened, that prayer was a lot shorter. It was like,
get it over with quicker.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus, leave. And it was over.
Yep.
And, you know, it wasn't very long after that. And she ended up changing medication, but she didn't really need it at all. It was years later before we found that out. And it happened because she started cutting back on the medications. Went from, you know, 3 tablets a day to 2 to 1 to a half. And then her neurologist says, well, you don't have enough in your system to make a difference. You might as well quit taking it.
Yeah.
And so she did, and she never had a problem after
She's
that.
She's been healed.
Yeah, she was healed.
Right.
Those witnesses are all over. Right.
And what that did for me was very important.
Yes.
In my walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, he proved himself to be there when I needed him.
That was certainly a sign and a wonder for you personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And I've had similar things happen as well. And so I don't mean to diminish the power of prayer in any way. But it was just a point of contention for me as I tried to mature in the faith of, why can't I do that? Is it because of my lack of faith? Am I doing something wrong? Am I doing this wrong? And it helped me kind of get through that to understand what we're talking here. So I appreciate it.
Chapter 4. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and priests in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands upon them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Uneducated and untrained by their standards.
By their standards.
And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in his name, in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed.
Let's pause there. So they're doing to Peter and John here the exact same thing that they did to Jesus, and they flat out are saying, we do not want this to spread to others. We don't want others being healed.
Yeah.
We don't want other people to find out about this. We just killed the guy, and we thought we were done with this. And now here come along two other guys that are doing the exact same stuff.
Yeah.
They're furious. And these are Sadducees, so it's not just the Pharisees, it's not just the scribes. It's all of them that are in the seat of power.
Yeah, and they're saying of them, they are uneducated and untrained men. They didn't go to our school of Phariseeism or Sadduceeism or
Judaism
or any of these isms or any of this college where these philosophies are taught. They're untrained.
Yeah.
See the pattern?
Yep.
Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were with one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who had possessions of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things they had sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also called named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, receiving land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also, being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own, under your own control? Why have you conceived the thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear fell upon those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you said you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Holy Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things.
So I want to go back to chapter 4, and when it says that the believers pray for boldness, that the men may speak with boldness, is it not just really asking for courage? And I would say Peter is exhibiting that now, both speaking well and with boldness and courageous. But isn't that kind of what's being meant here, is to speak boldly, is to have courage and believe in what you're saying. And
well, I think that there's two parts to it, at least two parts to it. There's the courage against opposition,
yeah,
to tell them like it is,
right,
for the sake of what they were supposed to do, and also the boldness to believe that God was with them in order to do that and not shrink back from it.
And their knowledge of the Spirit because of God's, or their knowledge of the Scriptures because of the Holy Spirit, they could have boldness in being able to utilize the Scriptures, as Peter is clearly demonstrated here, for what they are saying with boldness to others.
Yes, because they were here. Obviously, it says that these people called them uneducated and untrained men and tried to put them down. Well, right, they didn't give place to that.
Right.
They didn't give in to that. They just stood up and said what needed to be said to these scoundrels.
And the Messiah whom you killed. I mean, he called them murderers to their face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving on here to chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Ananias and Sapphira, they were not killed because they didn't give everything.
No, they were killed for their deception and lying. Right. You can't live in the Holy Spirit by being pretentious and lying. And
They wanted everybody to think they gave, right, yes, everything.
They, well, and they thought within their own hearts that they could lie
to these
and
men,
get away with it.
Yeah. And I've seen people who lied to ministers who were, yes, trying to counsel them before. And I know this to be a fact because I talked to some of these people, that if the minister gave them this advice, then it was okay. And that was, they were free to do this, that, or the other. And I said, you can't do that. You know, you lied. That doesn't matter. The minister told me. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
It's when you put somebody else between yourself and God. I mean, and I've heard people take the approach here that lying to Peter was in lying to God. That's what the example shows. No, it wasn't. In fact, it was exactly the opposite. Peter didn't say, you lied to me, therefore you're lying, right, to God. He said, you didn't. You're not dealing with me. You're dealing with God.
Right.
And you can't deal with God in deception like that. You got to be honest. You didn't have to do this. Nobody made you. It wasn't a matter of right and wrong. You volunteered to do it, and now you're going about deception. That's not going to work.
They could have said, here, we've sold our property. Here's half of it. We're going to give half of it to you and give them exactly half and then keep back half for themselves.
Sure they could. Because it said it was in their power to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
And that word boldness might be better translated confidence.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Okay. And courage, though. I think Richard put it really well, because it did take a lot of courage to stand up in front of the leaders of the play of their nation or their the region and tell them they're murderers.
Yeah, yeah.
That took a lot of courage. Well, and we'll see. They put him in jail.
Verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. And when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the man whom you put in prison is standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The house of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree.
The God of our fathers.
The God of our fathers. Okay. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince, the prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill
him. And plotted to kill him too, just like they plotted to kill the Messiah.
Isn't that the way it always goes?
It's just amazing.
Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to be put to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For this plan of this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ.
So this Gamaliel, who I think is the guy that
taught Paul,
yeah. Right? He's very well respected. That's the belief anyway. A Pharisee comes in and offers these guys some really sound advice, just from a logical standpoint. If this is not from God, then it'll go away. If it is from God, you can't do anything about it. And they said, okay, we believe you. We agree with you. So they beat the apostles and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and then let them go. Sounds like they really believed him.
Yeah,
it's funny that they beat them. But
we won't kill them, but we'll beat them.
Yeah, we'll just beat them a little bit more and command them again to not say the name of Jesus.
It shows how insincere they were.
Well, but back in verse 28, it says that they were saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, they were the ones that said his blood would be on them and their children.
Right. It's the ones that Peter's saying, and the man you killed.
He's
looking them right in their eyes, yeah, probably, and saying that you killed him. Yeah. Well, I think we're about out of time for today. Is this a good place to stop?
Yeah, I think we not want to chop up this matter of Stephen.
Yeah.
We want to take the time to go all the way through it.
I agree.
Yeah, spend some time with it.
All right.
All right. So we thank you for listening, and we hope to talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.